I was going to set this up a little bit, but that's all right, Mason. So what we have here, Fred, in the wake of more middle fingers being thrown around by Bill Russell, I thought we would look at some of the great middle fingers in history by doing a Freedom Rocket game. So you and Wallet can, you can combine your answers. You can try and go head-to-head. But I will describe a great Freedom Rocket thrown in pop culture history. You have to tell me where it came from, who threw the Freedom Rocket, and any other information you can provide about that Freedom Rocket.
Okay. I'm a little.
Mason,
I'm not
you
good
got
on
his
my Freedom Rocket.
Okay,
I'm a little not very good on my Freedom Rocket trivia.
You don't know when people give the middle finger. You like to glance away.
Yeah, I'm
usually
pixelated, so I don't get to see.
Ever
it.
Since I was a kid, I saw Take This Job and Shove It.
Right.
I've been all about this.
Obsessed with the middle finger. It was a big point of conversation in my neighborhood growing up as to what the middle finger meant. Like, what words did it stand for? And a lot of standing around the old, climbing tree. Does it mean, go to H-E double hockey stick? Or does it mean something even worse?
I don't know. I know my son knows how to do it, but I don't think he knows what it means, as is a lot of the things that he does at this age.
When I die, I rip it out. I got me a rock and roll band.
It's a Freedom Rocket.
All right.
Got a couple Freedom Rocket.
Okay. All right. I can only imagine the time and energy it took last night to put this thing together. I got to hand it to you. You really came through. All
right. Thanks, Fred.
All right. So
I just want to make you happy.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Pete Mitchell was explaining to his superior officers that he was merely keeping up international relations when he threw a Freedom Rocket to an opposing service person in this 1986 blockbuster film.
Oh, Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Okay, I guess we'll give that to you. And Pete Mitchell is?
The high score of all time on Pac-Man.
he's a
call
pilot.
Sign.
He's a pilot. Call sign Maverick.
That is correct.
Greetings. Watch the birdie.
That's it.
And then they took a picture. And then Goose just says, you know what? Gonna die.
Yep. That's what happened.
He's going to say, I'm going to keep this shirt on the whole movie, too.
That's right.
Yeah, I ain't taking this thing off to nothing.
It's hot as hell on this beach, but I'm keeping the shirt on.
Yeah, because you know why? It's not because he wouldn't take his shirt off in real life. It's because they just wanted to keep him like the normal guy.
Yeah, he's married, Fred.
Yeah.
He's married. The other three guys are single.
Yeah, if he pops that off, yeah, I mean, all of a sudden we start feeling a little bad. Like, who's this guy?
Right. All right, moving on. Next Freedom Rocket. There are multiple Freedom Rockets in this film from 1984. In one of the scenes, a character is surprised to receive an obscene finger gesture from such a pristine girl. Please name the film.
What year?
1985. The film set in 1984, released in 1985.
Set in 1984?
That is correct.
Well, there's a brand of Buick Skylark they showed was a point of contention.
Set in 84.
So there's an
obscene finger gesture from such a pristine girl. That is your key line from the film.
Okay. A middle finger from a pristine girl.
Okay.
And the guy's like, what's going on here?
Later on, the person who was ironically, offended at the obscene finger gesture, goes ahead and throws one himself, and he says to his counterpart in the scene, can you hear this? Would you like me
to turn it up?
Oh, Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Can you hear this? You want me to turn it up?
There he is, Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson, currently working at a Bennigan's in Peoria, Illinois.
Molly Ringwald flipping off Judd Nelson, and then later on, Judd Nelson flipping the bird, the Freedom Rocket, to Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, very good, gentlemen. You're 2-for-2 in what is probably the best game this show has ever had. Moving on.
I go on vacation for a week and a half right after this, so I'm perfectly fine. So the last day I have a normal commute. So you might as well continue.
You have the give up slide continues? That kind of thing?
It's just a lot.
Okay.
Today,
I understand.
Today is a lot.
Yep.
Did the Freedom Rocket exist in the early 1900s? Apparently it did, because...
Birth of a Nation.
Correct, Fred.
Well done.
Thank you.
Did the Freedom Rocket exist in the early 1900s? The soon-to-be Mrs. Cal Hockley showed the Freedom Rocket to someone on the other side of a cage in this otherwise sinking ship.
Titanic.
Oh, correct, Fred. What gave it away?
Done. The sinking ship?
Oh.
I've never seen Titanic.
I'm making this up as I go.
Really?
Sorry.
And you can hear the Irish music in the background as Rose flips the bird on the other side of the cage. It's actually to the bodyguard for Mr. Cal Hockley.
I have not seen Titanic.
What do you mean you've not seen Titanic?
I have not seen the film
no
Titanic.
No parts of it ever?
No.
Not even if it's on TV in passing for 5 minutes?
I've never seen it on TV in passing.
Interesting. Okay.
I've seen not one part of that film.
Hmm. Billy Zane steals the entire movie.
I was working at a Borders bookstore in Sandy Springs, Georgia at the time of its release. Because when I would go on break, everything I read was about Titanic.
See, that was a date movie that you had to... If you were dating somebody at the time, you pretty much had to take them to see Titanic.
See, I just go to something that was like 80 minutes long so I could get straight to banging.
There you go.
Rip it out. Got me a rock and roll band.
It's the Freedom Rocket.
All right, there's 4 more minutes until a break.
Why do you think I'm stalling? Here we go. This largely overrated 2006 crime drama featured a Freedom Rocket flipped by a police officer to some firefighters after they had lost to the firefighters in a game of rugby.
Rugby?
Rugby! In this largely overrated 2006 crime drama.
Okay. L.A. Story. It's not L.A. Story?
Never-ending story.
Backdraft.
Police versus firemen, the rugby.
Part one.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Okay, good.
Grease 2.
They all went prowling.
They're going to prowl. They were bowling and prowling.
Like T-Bird.
That's right.
They were prowling and everything else under the sun.
The film, you two dummies, is The Departed.
Of course.
Yes, the...
That was 96?
2006.
Oh, I thought you said 96.
No, 2006.
That would have made it Backdraft. I would have had that right.
Yeah. All right. One more.
No, I have 9.
Why?
I have 9 more.
Why do we need only one more?
We're just one
we
more.
We still got over 2 minutes.
One more.
I have 9 more.
Okay, right. One more. Pick the best one. Again, this is a man who complained about having to come up with a bit. Go ahead.
Rip it out. Got me a rock and roll band.
It's the Freedom Rocket.
Song alone makes the bit. Come on.
All right.
Carrie shows the Freedom Rocket.
Sex in the City.
To a state trooper.
Oh.
In order to help get Cletus out of a jam with the law.
Is that their Dukes of Hazzard?
Cannonball Run.
Carrie, better known in this film as Frog.
Frog. Oh, Smoking the Bandit.
There we go. Well done, gentlemen. This turned out really, really good, I think.
It was bad.
At the very end.
Let's do one more. Come on. We could do one more. We could do one more.
Fine.
Hardy worked all this time.
All right. That is indeed the Jerry Reed song. That is the theme. Continue.
Oh, you want me to do one more?
I want you to do one more.
All right. Here we go. This 19
in honor of Bill Russell giving the finger.
Yeah.
I was so tired last night. 1978 American adventure comedy film featuring a former trucker turned prize fighter, but he doesn't give the middle finger. No, that's from his prime mate pal.
Oh, that's BJ and the Bear.
Any Which Way But Loose.
There we go.
Thank you.
Congratulations, John Wallach. Any Which Way But Loose is the answer, and that.
Sweat it out, rip it out, got me a rock and roll band.
It's the Freedom Rocket.
Any Which Way You Can was a better movie, by the way. Better movie.
Temple Freedom Rocket.
And that is Hardy's contribution to the show today.
You're all welcome.
You know I'm going on vacation, So the last
you
TV show. This is the last TV show of the show's career. For the foreseeable future. And this is what we're leaving the audience with.
Yeah. So this way they don't miss you.
Here's the the dozen people out there that are watching are certainly going to miss us. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I can't hear this without thinking of... without thinking of Jermaine Wiggins. With Hardy.
This isn't the song.
No. This isn't that song.
Okay, I know that was Cream that he does the. But this is what he used for 98.5, 98 Mile.
Yeah, no, this is the original. Nobody's safe. Nobody. That's this one.
Okay.
Right?
No, it's one's real sensitive. The other's a bitch.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Last night. By the way, Peter Abraham calling this this Mookie Betts epic at bat was pure baseball magic. Last night in the fourth inning, as you know by now, Mookie Betts fouls off a bunch of pitches. 13 pitch at bat, a dropped foul ball.
Yep.
By Toronto. And Mookie Betts hits a grand slam, otherwise known as the salami. He touched them all.
I say you play the highlight again and let Fred go to town. That's what I say.
High deep right! He crushed it! It's a grand slam!
Slaughter the pig!
Wow!
Slap it between two sheets of bed.
It's time to party!
Put the head in the bed.
How about that? One of the most electrifying
don't wake him up.
Of the season.
I mean, it's the Godfather if it was a pig.
Mookie Betts.
Slap the salami around.
Slam.
That was a mistake. Sorry.
How come the dude from The Godfather didn't wake up when they put the horse head in the bed?
Heavily sedated. Jack Waltz?
Yeah.
Oh, he was not sleeping just on, natural serotonin levels.
All right.
A lot of pills.
All right. It's not serotonin, by the way, we should go to sleep.
Melatonin.
Melatonin. All right. So, but the interesting story is after that of Grand Slam, is that David Price given an ovation coming off the field.
And here comes Alex Cora. Devin Travis coming up.
He'll get a nice round of applause for David Price.
A little conversation here to start, but going to the bullpen. 5-3 lead for the Red Sox. And Mr. Price off the mound tonight with an opportunity for the win, and he bounced back very nicely here this evening.
Yes, he did. That was a nice outing.
Okay, whatever with David Price, he beat a bad team.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like an electric appearance for him. I mean, he went 6 2/3, and he gave up 3 runs. I don't understand the round of applause for him.
It's a standing ovation. I do not understand.
It shouldn't have been a standing ovation. They applauded the fact that he was crap in the first inning and then battled back and held the team down.
Okay,
that's what the ovation
all right, so
was for.
Yeah, okay, so now you're a big Cy Young pitcher.
Yeah.
So now the expectation is, okay, you sucked in the first inning, but then you were able to hold it together?
Essentially, that's what it's come down to, yes.
So, but the crowd at Fenway is not representative of all of the fan base of the Red Sox. I mean,
no.
It's become ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous.
No,
I'm not telling you to boo the guy.
No, I'm not.
But a standing ovation for a guy who had a serviceable outing? I mean, that's not the stuff of magic. I mean, if you give up 3 runs in 6 2/3 all the time, that's not an ace.
No, it's an ERA of about 4.
Yes. So, I mean, which is about his ERA. It's 4.42.
He's getting the standing ovation, like grading him on his own curve. For David Price, people are recognizing now, it's like, wow,
see,
that's a gutsy performance from Price.
Well, the thing is, with Price, he pitched real well there for a couple of months, and then he ran into his last two starts. He ran into the Yankees, which sent him into a tailspin. Maybe they were just applauding the fact that he didn't get his ass handed to him again. And that was enough to
get the Sox to win. So it's a sarcastic standing ovation?
No, I think people are legit happy he didn't get his ass handed to him.
It doesn't make any sense to me. If Workman goes 6 2/3 and gives up 3 runs, Is he greeted with a standing ovation?
Because that's far more than they expected out of him, yes.
No, he's not. No. Under no, no circumstances.
Workman,
no.
Workman, in a spot start, gives up 3 runs in 6 2/3 innings. I think he gets applause,
gets a standing ovation.
Not a standing ovation.
Right, no. Okay, so good.
Same applause Price gets. That's my point.
No, but Price got a standing ovation.
Standing ovation,
Wallach. Okay, all right. I didn't see the standing. That's my fault. I wasn't aware that they were standing. I didn't look for that when I was watching the game. I saw Price leave the game. I got up and left the room because I knew there was a commercial coming around. So I did not see the standing. That's my fault.
You see, that's the problem, is you can't leave the room.
Yep.
You never know what's going to happen next.
Yes.
Well,
that's true.
Especially in a 13-pitch at bat.
Ooh, send that salami to a boy in the army. Achi machi, touch them all. Some lucky fan on Lansdowne got themselves a souvenir.
One of the most electrifying at bats
of all time.
I mean, anywhere in the major leagues.
Just anywhere.
Mookie Betts.
Oh, my God.
Grand slam.
I'm retiring right now.
Wait.
Now I've seen it all. This is. Ooh, wait, stop. Slime time.
Send that salami
to the boy in the army.
That's number two today, other than roast a pig. That was the other one.
Hang the pig upside down, slit its throat, and let's get the entrails out.
Okay.
Electrified like an eel. Make you squeal like a pig, which is used to make a salami.
Lucky number 13 for the Mook. Ooh wee!
We got to get you in the booth. That's what we need to do.
They'll be right on.
For some reason, NBC Sports Boston wouldn't let you do a Celtic game. Maybe they'll let you do Red Sox.
But Gorman asked them 5 times.
You were too edgy and scary to put there for 10 minutes. So Scal was behind it. Gorman was behind it. They wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah, it was going to go to Detroit.
No.
On my own dime.
I was just going to say, you wouldn't have paid for the flight. They didn't have to house you. You could have stayed somewhere.
I would have stayed at a friend's house.
You got in your own transportation to the palace, and they wouldn't let you do it. Maybe they let you go to Fenway and sit in with Dave O'Brien.
It would have been one of those perfect like pop culture moments where there would be no in-between. People would either love it or just hate it.
But either way, they'd watch.
It would piss people off.
That's the key.
Or people would love it. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah, because I'd have, like, no knowledge of what was going on. I would have
fantastic.
No idea who's on the Pistons.
Yeah. I am still amazed, though, at Eckersley whenever he gives props to either David Price or Jackie Bradley Jr. And he did it both last night because Jackie Bradley Jr. had a good night, and he was praising him and praising Price, and these guys both, like, went out of their way to insult him and screw him over. And Eckersley,
he's probably over... like compensating for that. Like he wants to know that there's no hard feelings on his end.
I would carry that with me for the rest of my life. I would never, ever let it go.
I think if Eckersley wasn't in the television booth, he'd carry it with him for the rest of his life.
To my knowledge, I know a guy who knows his friend that he was very, 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 very upset. Very, very pissed off. And pissed off at Pedroia, too, is what I heard. There's been some talk of that not being the case, but from what I heard, my sources, embedded deep, deep into the organization, told me that.
The lack of leadership from Pedroia this season has really hurt this team. Really hurt them.
Yeah.
The fact that he hasn't been around and was sent to Arizona, it's completely damaged this clubhouse.
Well, they sent him to Arizona to get him out of there.
That's
the point, is that they're just like, leave.
Yeah.
You serve absolutely no purpose being here.
Yeah.
If anything, you're just taking up space.
So much for the de facto captainship.
But he led by example.
Less than a year ago, that was the narrative. You remember Pedroia stood in that locker room and said, "You looking for leadership? Here I am."
Right.
Nope. That's really not the case.
No. Now you have a team that's going to win 105 games without you. I don't know if he plays again. I mean, if you're the Red Sox and you have this kind of season, do you even want him around?
No. Well... maybe you want him around.
Because
you want him on the field. That's the thing.
Well, no, that's the thing is that do you think he's going to be happy being a utility guy?
No.
I mean, do you think he's going to be happy playing once a week?
He just wants to play, but once a week is not going to get it done
for him. Now, look, if he's healthy, if he's healthy, and that's a huge if, he may not play again this season. If he's healthy, he's an upgrade defensively over what they're running out there now.
He's an upgrade over most teams defensively.
I mean, he's a gold glove second baseman. He can hit him ninth. Well, you have to hit Jackie Bradley Jr. ninth. But if you hit him eighth in front of Jackie Bradley Jr., he can certainly help. He's better than Nunez or Holt there, if he's healthy.
Maybe he's not going to be healthy.
Maybe even if he's 70%, he's an upgrade.
But, you know, that's
defensively.
That was the narrative before he came back the first time. He said, oh, well, you know, it's still, you need his bat, you need his bat. What bat? He hasn't played baseball. Yeah. He hasn't played baseball in a long time. He's just going to automatically step into the batter's box and be able to face pitchers in mid-season form?
You don't need his bat. This team, I don't know if anyone's noticed, this team leads the majors in a whole bunch of categories offensively. You don't need his bat. What you need, especially in the playoffs, would be his defense.
And I don't know that anyone wishes this to be the end and how it ends for Pedroia like this. I don't think anybody
wants
to see
this. Well, ends this season. He'll be back next year. That's paying him a lot.
Dusty Tucson. Has hit the old dusty trail. Dave, go ahead.
That was worth it.
Dave, go ahead.
I'm glad we silenced our microphones for that. Yeah.
Yeah, Dusty Two Sacks is gone,
yep.
I believe.
I believe it.
David Price, if I was Eckersley, I would just unload on him every night and just be like, you know what? You're a piece of garbage. You're just like the Sarge of 98.5.
This is out of control.
No, it's not. It's kind of tame, actually.
Who decided on the phrase piece of garbage?
I don't know.
It's like a hashtag now. It's trending.
Now I'm kind of happy because I missed all of last week. I'm kind of getting that slice of life, you know?
Yeah, but you wouldn't like it that much if you were here.
Oh, is that? Okay.
It just bothered him so much.
Bothered me to be in here.
Because it never would have happened. Just someone was like, "Sarge, you suck." Like I knew what the phone call was coming. He's like, "Yeah, well, you suck. How about that? Try that out for Sarge.
How many days are you
from
in
your
here?
Mom's basement?" He was here for two.
Hardy was here for two of those days.
Yeah, we did for the Freedom Rocket game 8 times, and then that was it.
Rip it out. Got me a rock and roll band.
It's the Freedom Rocket.
All right.
Got the temple Freedom Rocket.
It was not comfortable. It was very uncomfortable. He was not having fun.
No. Which made you have even more fun.
Because when I didn't know they were going to make fun of him, and then they did, it was funny. But then when it was pointed out to me that he kept walking back into the other room and going like, oh, yeah, people having a bit of sport at my expense. Then I felt bad. Like it was eating
away at
him.
Did you take more calls after that?
I mean, I took telephone calls.
Yes.
I mean, it's a radio show. No. They would say it was something else, and then it would ultimately be about Sarge.
Were you disappointed when it ended up being about Sarge?
I felt bad. I did really. Because it was like being in here with a child. Like, he was like really hurting his feelings.
Yes.
And being in radio for this long, it's been a long time since I've seen a lot of people get pissed, but I haven't seen someone's feelings get hurt. Like, and it was sad. Like, I felt bad. I mean, he was really upset. It was interesting, but I mean,
just to witness the human condition.
Like, when was the last time that you saw someone on the radio get sad? Like, you know, someone,
other than Roach, I can't really name one.
Like callers, over like a caller, someone insulting you. Like, it's one thing, you get angry and fed up and start yelling and stuff.
Right.
But I mean, someone calls in, they go, you suck. And then first, no, you do. Hey, get out of your mom's basement already.
Good one, pal.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's right. That's funny stuff. Okay. Like, I mean, what do you think's going to happen? If they drive you that crazy just saying you suck, I mean, now an avalanche of hate's going to come. So no, I didn't. At the end, John, I did not enjoy it. It was not funny anymore to me. And not as funny as it was in the beginning, I should say. It's plenty funny. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
My talking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
What? What are you looking at?
Nothing. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, it's Eric on the phone.
Fred, you know,
no kidding.
That's why you said Eric.
Eric, go ahead.
I'm going to miss you guys in the morning. You know, I enjoy my cup of coffee for a couple hours, just checking out before I head off to work.
Then listen to us on the radio.
I will. I'll do it, but I can work. You know, I got to work.
Yeah, but that, I would think the TV is a little bit more distracting.
Well, not at, you know, 6 in the morning.
Oh, please. This is why I got to get off the television. I need you. I need you with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, or feel free to listen to us on 98.5 FM.
It's an excellent app, and I stream you guys on a monitor.
You're the man.
Here's the point I was going to make, and okay. I'm worried about Fred and his ego.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't get a couple hours in the booth, a Nesson booth at a Red Sox game, and they give Hacksaw Johnny Gomes like 12 games a year?
Seriously.
Yes.
Dude,
people they cycle, they had Lenny DiNardo. I'm telling you, the people they cycle through there, it's an insult if you don't get a chance.
Eric, I did 20 hours a week of television for NBC Sports Boston, for which they pay me. And Gorman and Scalabrine wanted me to do a quarter of a Celtics game with them. They both requested it. I know for a fact that they did. And Comcast or NBC Sports Boston wouldn't let me do it.
And you've done so much work, you know, with Dr. Leonard on your hair and your look and everything.
That's yeah. right. I've had all these procedures.
Yeah. I know.
Freeze-dried fat, all that stuff.
It might just be your exurbic wit. That's it.
You know what? There's a lot of people. You know, Ma and Pa America, maybe they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the people in Maine don't get where the tea's coming from.
This does open the doors for you for Nesson, though. Now you can get into the booth.
That's right. Gloves are off, man. You can go wherever you want.
You can
this
go
is
wherever
it.
You want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they'll get you in there post-haste.
I would. Listen, you put me in there with the gang. You put me in there with Eckersley. All we'll talk about is Marrows and Loose as the Goose Ladies. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
I just wanted to explain to you real quick why that those idiots that gave them a price of standing O. I think there's two reasons. Okay, the first one being that it was more like an apologetic, like saying, yeah. like, "Okay, we give you a lot of crap, but all right, hey, you did a good job tonight. All right, here you go." You know, that's
right.
That's kind of what it was. And number two being that you're really just a pathetic loser if you do that, like Sarge.
Tom, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, what up?
What's up?
Hey, I guess I'm the only guy in Boston who really doesn't understand why we're all bashing David Price. There's one thought that goes through my head. If we win 130 games during the regular season, it won't matter if David Price isn't pitching effectively in the playoffs. Like, we need him to pitch. We need him to keep us in games, let the offense take over. That's really what we need from him.
That part is true. If the Red Sox want to win a World Series, and this team is built to win a World Series in the next 2 or 3 years at most,
right.
They need Price pitching, and they need him pitching really well. Because you look at this middle relief,
yeah.
The third and fourth starters, I'm still not sold on Porcello in the playoffs, and Eduardo Rodriguez is a six-inning pitcher at best. Need a guy that can go deep into games.
What is the asking price for Britton?
I don't know. They haven't said. Baltimore, again, you're dealing with Dan Duquette, so flip a coin. But, you know, Zach Britton's one guy they're looking at. They're looking at that guy, Kyle Bearclaw, in Miami, who just took over as the closer. That's the thing. The Sox, and that was the report from ESPN a couple of days ago, if we're going to talk bullpen, the Sox aren't looking for a setup guy. The Sox are looking for another closer.
Right.
Because, you know, Kimbrel's a free agent after this year.
Right.
So they want to get him for now, and they want to theoretically get him on the cheap, whoever it is, for next year.
I just think it's funny that Dombrowski won't like pony up for Kimbrel. You know, out of all these free agent signings and everything, like Kimbrel, who's done nothing but what you've wanted him to do.
Been lights out. I mean, that was a trade that was perfect.
Yes.
They gave up all those prospects, and Kimbrel's been worth everyone they gave up. And now, again, you've painted yourself into a corner real quick. You know you got Betts for an astronomical amount of money, which is going to be about $40
million. Yep.
You know you're going to have to pay Chris Sale $30 million, because there's no one in the organization that's going to replace either of those two guys.
Right.
And so what's Kimbrel going to offer? I mean, as we all know, big contracts always work out for closers who are in their 30s.
Right.
So you can't pay Kimbrel $15 million a year, so you got to find a replacement for him.
I just find it odd that this... I mean, Dombrowski does a lot of stuff, like signing guys like Victor Martinez to huge deals.
Yeah.
But just funny that he draws the line at Kimbrel.
The other problem is all of the prospects the Red Sox have are injured
right.
at the moment. Or, in Chavis's case, suspended for PEDs. I mean, everybody, Groom, Chavis, everybody who's been worth anything has been hurt in the Sox organization this year.
Jack, go ahead.
So David Price is kind of like, you know, he's got a chance to be a hero for the Red Sox if he actually gets his stuff together. It's just like Sarge, just I don't think either of them ever will.
God. Is the intern answering the phones today?
Yes, he is.
He's actually doing a great job. No, he really is. It's odd because how can an intern off the street who's never done this be so much better than Bird and Jamelli?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Like, he's doing, I'm not being sarcastic, so he's doing, like, a really good job.
And you say this because you're seeing the phone doesn't ring for very long. You can see when he picks it up and when the information gets entered. It's like quick.
Yes, and it's pretty descriptive of what they want to talk about.
That's good. What's the intern's name?
I don't know.
Come on.
It's Robbie. Robbie. Right?
Okay, good. Thumbs up.
You don't understand.
I got it right.
In all seriousness, you don't understand how bad I am with names, and it's completely because of my narcissism. There's no question about it. Unless I know you well, the whole time you're talking to me, I'm fretting about something going on in my own head. Like I'm so in my own head that I just, like, things like buying a home or getting married and things like that just seem like passive decisions because the whole time it's going on, I'm worried about something. Something completely inconsequential.
Yeah.
So, like, when you, like, the interns here, right? And, like, say I get introduced to them before the show, like, I'm fretting about something. So it's just like, yeah. And then if it's after the show, I'm so inside my own head because I'm tired and all the adrenaline of doing the show is off. That's it. I mean, it's not that I'm forgetful, because I'll remember everything about someone. I'll remember, like, where they went to college and where they're from and all this stuff. Marcy's your wife's name.
Yeah.
Okay, that's done.
What's Wallach's wife's name?
Shut up.
That's perfect.
Come on!
Right there!
Oh, my God!
That is perfect.
Almost she's, 9 years you've been working
been
with him.
She's been at your house
you
more than once.
That.
Fantastic.
She works with numbers. She works in the Prudential Center.
That's correct.
I know her name.
She does.
You have twin boys.
Yes, I do.
They are
whose names are what?
I don't know.
No, that's not fair.
You don't talk about them on the air.
No, I do not.
Like my kids, I talk about on
yes,
the air.
Yes, I do not talk about my kids on the air. That's
true. Nor should you if you do not want to. Your wife's name.
This is unbelievable.
Hardy, you are the worst.
She's listening right now on the way into work, too.
It's not that I don't like her.
I know.
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. I know what it is, too.
Apparently not.
If he was telling a story and said her name, I would know what's going on. Well, I know her name.
Yeah. But being able to recall it on your own is what we're trying to determine here.
The funny thing is, the second you said that, Fred's face changed.
Because I knew he was going to ask me. I knew he was going to ask me, and I knew I didn't know.
Yep.
Oh, by the way. Okay, let's do it this way. Oh, there's Hardy and Marcy. Oh, there's Rich and Mary. Oh, here comes Wallach and his wife.
Alice. No.
By the way, Hardy, bonus points to you for knowing. Even though you haven't said it, I know you know the answer.
Her name is Lee.
Yep. I knew that.
You did know that.
She's a Philadelphia fan.
Correct. From Philly. Yep.
She's from Philadelphia.
Correct.
You guys drive to Philadelphia.
Yep. We do.
Your father has a place in Maine.
Yep.
Your mother lives in Seattle.
Yep. All correct.
See, I know all these things
nicely
about
done,
you.
But you didn't know my wife's name.
I did know it's Lee. I would have gotten
approximate
it.
Age of Wallach's twin boys.
Oh, I know that. They are in third grade, going into third grade.
Yep.
All right. He's off by a year.
What? They're in third grade.
They're going into third grade.
Yeah, they're in third grade.
Well, they will be in third grade.
I'm going to give give them the ding. I give them that one. All that's right. Fine.
I mean, my son's technically in fifth grade. My daughter's technically in second grade.
That's okay. Fine. I'll give it to
so
you.
So do you see how I remember these things?
That's true, but the names elude you. Yes. Even though she's been at your house, presented you with many gifts.
Many gifts.
She's showered you with love.
Yeah.
She's a big fan of yours.
No, she's not.
That's true.
Yeah, another thing I know about her is that she doesn't like me. James, go ahead.
Shane from Saugus.
Okay, hey, what's up? Okay.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to tell Fred he's handsome, and he's always on Twitter, but he hates Twitter.
Okay, I'm always on Twitter, but I hate Twitter.
What?
I don't know. Mm. All right, we will be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is our last day on Comcast. I don't want to wait until the end of the show to do this. We said goodbye to Josh Fowler yesterday. Susie Dona is the director of technical. She's the technical director. She's a director. She's our director today. She's fantastic. We appreciate everything that she's done for us. Ben Millett, we've mentioned his name several times. He has been working with the show. He's always sending us ideas. He's always sending Rich stuff on Twitter over there. And Dave Magaha is the morning engineer, and he keeps us on the air. And all these people get up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and come in. They get in way before we do. And we'd really appreciate everything that they've done. They've done a great job. There's been absolutely no complaints ever about the way this show is produced. I don't think we've ever complained about how this particular show has been produced. Now, we've complained about a lot of stuff. NBC Sports Boston, like why all of a sudden they stopped discussing our show or advertising it in any way. We had our issues with them, but everything has turned over there. I don't even know who's in charge over there anymore. But in terms of the staff of this show and the way that this show has been produced on the television side, no complaints. It's been fantastic, and it's exceeded our expectations. And the best thing about it is that we've forgotten that we're on TV a lot of the time.
Yeah,
you just forget about it. But they must have so many. Part of the reason I'm doing this is because there's got to be so much B-roll footage of me picking my nose. It's got to just be disgusting.
Yeah, and I think that's at the end of it. For whatever reason that, you know, this show is no longer simulcast. It is
whatever
not,
reason. I've told you ten times.
It's not the fault of the people producing the show, working on the show. It is strictly because the people in charge don't like you personally.
Right.
And Rich and Wallach.
Right, which is why it was our decision to leave.
They look at you guys and they're like, we don't want them on our TV set anymore.
Yeah. You say these things and then people are going to start thinking that you're being serious. And then it's going to become this big thing that we were fired from NBC Sports Boston when you know that's not the case.
I haven't been in any of the meetings. I don't know how it went down.
You have been in meetings. You absolutely have. And you know from them how it went down.
Yeah.
You are lying on so many levels there. You have been involved in meetings quite directly. You are over there often. And yeah. You talk to the powers that be. This has been a decision. It's a decision based on how we make money. We make money based on ratings. And even if we ever lose, we've won the last two books, thank you very much. But even if when we lose a book, it's not like we're losing by, like, you know, 3 points or 2 points. I mean, it can be like a fraction of a point. So even if we can get people, if people are watching TV and we can get those people listening to us on the radio or on the great 98.5 The Sports Hub app, the belief is that that margin goes away. There's very competitive in the morning. There's a lot of people who've been in town for a long time. I mean, you think about the two sports stations, but there's other shows out there that do very well. I mean, if you want to talk about being number one, like Maddie's number one with like all women and everything, and he does a good male audience. I mean, Maddie's been around. Hillman's been around for decades. I mean, there's a lot of competition in the morning. A lot of it. ZLX does well. I mean, there's a lot of competition in the morning.
I bumped into one of Hillman's producers in the Dunkin' Donuts there this morning.
Mm.
Nice kid. I've met him before.
Yeah. I met Hillman all wanting to hate him, and then I liked him.
Mm. Look at you. Growing.
Very contentious beginning. The relationship between you two
folks.
Well,
when you come in, you got to start, yeah. You got to start, you know, dropping bombs. You got to start, you know, making your way.
Sure.
But then, you know, you settle into your position, you start having some success, and there's no need to do that anymore.
Opie and Anthony didn't exactly smooth things out for you.
No, Opie and Anthony, but they were great to us. I mean, they helped establish us here. But that is the situation. So as much as Hardy wants to tell you, I mean, as much as he wants to lie, that's fine. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey,
what's up?
No, nothing. I'm just going to miss you guys on TV. I know you say listen to the radio all the time, but yeah, my couple DUIs are kind of limiting my car access right now.
But, well, you can listen to us on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app as you take public transportation.
It's in the car and... I don't know.
You can consume media in so many ways.
Honest to God.
Don't tell them to consume anything, please.
But I am going to miss your narcissism. You do make me feel better about myself every day.
I'm going to... I'm not moving.
He's not dying. What's the problem?
I know.
Yeah, but he's never going to listen to the show again. That's sad.
Is looking at Sarge and all his dick tendencies.
There you go.
I like Sarge.
I didn't see
I like
that
Sarge
one.
Too.
I didn't see that last one.
I didn't see that
coming at all.
I didn't see that coming. No. All right. Our last item.
Nice, pal. Go get another DUI. Way to go, pal. Way to go,
go get another DUI. That's right.
Go that's get what, that. I am. Is
go
that
get
what,
that
is,
third one's always a good idea because that's when they actually put you in jail for a long time.
Is that 100% what Sarge would say if he were here right now? And
he wouldn't be that quick. No. No, he wouldn't.
I felt like it was a great line.
No, he... Oh, Hardy. I mean, you might as well be Carlin. I mean, let's be honest. All right, I've enjoyed this week, I rule. Still, Wallach is the champion. He did, despite his wife's distaste for me. He did his wife Lee.
There you go.
Right. But well done. Our final one is for Hardy. He is an expert in all things Andy Griffith.